Orioles lose 3-2 last night. They've lost four straight. Orioles trying to end that streak tonight against the Guardians. Baltimore baseball tonight is at 5:30 here on The Fan. Before we get to the pitching and our confidence in this rotation holding up, I was thinking of something as after we talked about the lineup. James McCann started Friday. He didn't play Saturday or Sunday, but then he started again last night. And he's starting tonight. That's three times in five games for a guy that is not getting on base 20% of the time. Is there something, could there be a minor ache and pain that Adley Rutschman's going through right now to give him back-to-back days off? Because wouldn't you have started Adley behind the plate
yesterday, last
night?
Yeah.
And then had McCann start tonight?
I mean, it's fair to wonder that. And if we were at Brandon Hyde's press conference, it's definitely worth an ask for him. But, you know, I asked you in the open, Ken, where they've had two off days since May 17th. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really extreme. And I don't know. I part of me says yes, but part of me thinks they've been DHing him a lot since the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that really took place around the midway point last year, where Jason, to his credit, was the first to find it. Just the extreme splits in, you know, Adley's batting slash line when he catches as opposed to when he DHs. But it goes back to what Jason brought up weeks ago, too. I mean, how much is Michael Elias maybe going to look for a backup catcher if this type of play time consists for James McCann?
Yeah, but if this persists, you got to do something. But like, is there ever a scenario right now where you'd want James McCann playing three out of five games?
No,
I say no. Like, and thank you for last year. Thank you for your work with the pitchers.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. Thank you for your service. But he's not hitting. Like, and the bottom of this lineup, and I'm the might be the biggest Colton Cowser guy there is. But Colton Cowser's been really scuffling the last 50 games. And so your 8-9 hitters are now two guys that do you have any confidence that these guys are going to get on base tonight?
Not right now. I mean, we've seen a lot of non-competitive at-bats from those two, over an extended period. And look, last three games have just not been pretty for the offense in general.
Yeah, so let's get to the rotation. And we are 5 weeks away from the trade deadline. We're going to talk to Mark Feinstein coming up at 5 o'clock about the deadline. Can this rotation, Bone, can it hold on? Can it hold up? Can it give them just enough until Mike Elias, and I'm going to assume Mike Elias is going to bring reinforcements in. Can they hold up until then? They don't have a choice.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have a choice. But you look at the upcoming schedule where you got Guardians, you have the Rangers, then you have a West Coast trip, Mariners, A's, Cubs, Yankees, then the All-Star break. And usually the All-Star break, that's when things really start heating up in terms of the trade deadline, which is on July 30th this year.
Yes.
Can they do enough? And can this offense bounce back to where they can carry him? I mean, you look at the last seven starts, Ken. The starting pitching has allowed 25 earned runs in 32 innings.
That's not good.
That is a 7.03 ERA. And to make matters worse, where we talk a lot about this bullpen and the fact that they need to add another high leverage arm or two, they have only completed six innings once. And that was Corbin Burns, who went seven innings, four earned, which isn't even a quality start.
Nope.
So they have not had a quality start in their last seven. And I'm concerned, man. I mean, I'm concerned for the short term because I'm with you, Ken. I'm going to be the glass half full with the trade deadline this year. I firmly expect Mike Elias to be aggressive in trying to augment this roster. I firmly believe that. But in this short term, man, Suarez, I think that Linsanity runs over right now. I mean, I think him being
He should be a bulk bullpen arm.
I'm with you there. Cole Irvin, we'll see what we get out of him tonight, but I'm very concerned with him moving forward. Grayson Rodriguez, he's still a young starting pitcher. So you're going to see, you know, outings like last Friday happen. It's going to happen. The only guy that you have a ton of confidence in right now is Burns.
Yeah, and Burns is coming off arguably his worst start as an Oriole, and that shows you how good he is. Seven innings, four earned. First time all year he's given up more than one home run. First time all year he didn't have a quality start, but he did give him seven. I am confident that over the course of the season, this lineup with a couple minor tweaks is good enough.
Absolutely.
I am also confident that Mike Elias has no choice but to make moves because he chose not to make moves in the offseason. And I was never in on like Jordan Montgomery. I personally don't think it was realistic they were going to spend that way. And I've told Jason and I've had that argument.
Yeah. But
Lorenzen was a guy I brought up many times. A guy like Seth Lugo. There were guys that went for reasonable amounts that the Orioles could have brought in because here's what we do know. They knew Kyle Bradish was hurt before we did. So at that point, you could have spent on a Lorenzen wouldn't have came in at that point, but Lugo would have. You could have brought Lorenzen in before the start of the season.
$4.5 million
yes.
What he signed for.
So they could have brought in more arms. They chose not to. Now they're at a point in a seller's market where they're going to have to make some moves. And I feel like they should be where the Texas Rangers were a year ago, where you make multiple moves. And it's not going to guarantee anything. They could make multiple moves and still not make the World Series. But they should do everything in their power to try to make the World Series because nothing lasts forever. And as good as you think you have it right now, it doesn't guarantee the way it's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah, you can't just punt on this year because you've been crippled with injuries recently. You can't because Corbin Burns is a free agent at the end of the year, and that's a total mystery. It's got to be a big goal of Mike Elias during this trade deadline to acquire someone that is under control through 2025 because the rotation moving forward is a huge question mark. But he has to acquire a guy, for me, Ken, that's going to start game two.
Well, I would say at the very least game three.
Yeah, at least three.
I am optimistic that Grayson Rodriguez can be your number two starter. And what I love, but who is that guy that's your game two starter that's out there?
Yeah.
Like you could make the argument, okay, if Justin Verlander gets healthy, but their GM just went on MLB Network and said, we're going to be buyers at the deadline. Like they're playing good baseball right now. Who is that game two starter? Like you want to talk about going to get Jordan Montgomery? Well, the Arizona Diamondbacks are in the playoff hunt right now. Like there that's Eric Fetty is a three.
Yeah, that's the part that's really complicated. This deadline is the fact that the National League is a dumpster fire, and everyone is in it outside of two teams.
Yeah, the Marlins, all their pitchers are hurt. So good luck trying to trade for one of their arms.
Yeah, the extra wild card ordinarily keeps teams more alive than ever, longer than ever, but especially so this year. And last year, going back to the Rangers example, Ken, I mean, they went out and got Chapman early on in July. Can Mike Elias maybe pull off a move like that with the White Sox, for example? Perhaps, but I think with a lot of these National League teams, they're not going to know until up against it.
Remember, they not only went and got Chapman early, and they gave a Cole Reagans in that deal, who's one of the best young pitchers in baseball.
Yep.
But then they went and got Scherzer from the Mets. That didn't work out. But then they got Montgomery and another relief arm from the Cardinals. So they made three major moves before the deadline.
They made three major moves, and you mentioned Reagans, which, he's a stud, but they won it all.
Yes, so, it's worth it.
It absolutely is worth it.
Remember when Gleyber Torres was a thing and people were like, well, the Yankees got him for Chapman. Well, Chapman helped the Cubs win a World Series, so it's worth it.
Exactly.
He was there 1 year. He won a World Series. Whatever you gave up to get him, it's worth it.
And that's especially true in the Orioles' case, a team that hasn't won a World Series in 40-plus years. And we know how deep this farm system is, and we know how if Mike Elias wanted to get XYZ, he could if he wanted to. Now it's time to be aggressive. Now it's time to go back to what Jim Bowden was telling us a year ago around this time, Mike Elias making those penthouse moves.
Here's about what guarantees are. Like, look at the San Diego Padres a few years back when they had the number one farm system in baseball, and then they flipped that to get things. They have not even made a World Series. And who knows where they are right now as a franchise. I feel, and I appreciate A.J. Preller. He goes for it every single year. He tries. They haven't gotten over the hump. I feel like you have to try, though. Like, you have to make that attempt. Nothing is guaranteed. Look at the Texas. Nobody thought the Texas Rangers were winning the World Series last year. And them and the Diamondbacks, two wild card teams, ended up playing each other in the World Series. Hey, coming up next, we said our piece. We want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. How are you feeling about this rotation? Can it hold up until reinforcements come in? Do you think reinforcements are coming in? Are you concerned about the lineup? Are you concerned at all about Adley Rutschman? James McCann going to start three out of the last five games with the game tonight. He's in the lineup at catcher. 410-583-1057. We hear from the people next here on The Fan. Well done, Ben Hall. Inside Access here on Tuesday. Jason out. He'll be back tomorrow. Orioles lose last night 3-2. And trying to end a four-game losing streak tonight with Cole Irvin on the mound. It's a battle of lefties. We mentioned last segment, James McCann in the lineup for the second consecutive night. And three of the last five, we're wondering if there's something minor going on with Adley Rutschman, because James McCann should not be starting three out of five games. Anyway, one air from the people about the pitching. Can it hold up? Should they be making major moves? How are you feeling about this team right now? 410-583-1057. Let's get things started with Matt in Delaware. Matt, you're on The Fan.
Hey, fellas, good afternoon to you.
Yes, sir.
So I wanted to call in just to chime in on the Orioles. It's funny, 2 years ago, if you would have told me that they'd be 20 games over 500 and only two games back, yeah, pretty much the halfway point, you know, I would have signed up for it.
Mm-hmm.
But the expectations, I think, are a little bit different as of the last year or two. And so, yeah, I'm concerned. I'm not so much concerned about the playoffs as much as making it to a World Series, taking that next step. The rotation is concerning. I look at, you know, who they have in the minor leagues. There's not a lot of arms. There's a decent amount of bats that they could promote. Not a lot of major league arms that are ready. You look at some of the guys they have in the rotation now. You know, Cade Povich, hit the most innings he's ever thrown is 126. He's already at 78. Grayson Rodriguez, you know, he only threw 122 innings last year. He's had some shoulder soreness this year. He's at 75 already. So, you know, I'm expecting them. They're going to have to go out and add some starters, because these guys are not going to be able to pitch for the rest of the year with the innings and protecting arms. But the big point I wanted to make, and then I'll hang up and let you guys listen, is the lineup. You know, you look at the way that the lineup is constructed, and you made a point about this earlier about left-handed pitchers. You know, when there's a left-handed pitcher on the mound, it's like the lineup looks so much different. And Heston Kerstedt had, you know, he had two hits last night, and I get it's one game. But, you know, just because he's left-handed, you're not even giving him the opportunity to hit against a left-handed pitcher. So how do you ever get better hitting left-handed pitchers if you're not given the opportunity? You know, unless you're just content with just platooning guys, and that's kind of my frustration.
I appreciate the call. Now, there's two ways to look at it. I can take the side, hey, the Orioles won a World Series platooning their left fielders, Lowenstein and Renicki. But he's right. Heston, two hits last night and a fantastic at bat that ended in an out. And because there's a lefty on the mound, he ain't playing tonight.
Look, we've just seen Brandon Hyde. He's very much a traditionalist when it comes to Gunnar Henderson. Didn't play against left-handed pitching for the start of his career until probably June, July last year, until he was getting consistent at bats. I mean, we've just seen this organization do that.
Yeah, I think it's an organizational thing too. Yeah, they throw into the supercomputer, it spits out, we need a righty against a lefty. Yep. Well, that tells me you need to get another right-handed bat in here too.
Exactly.
Because James McCann, unless there's something going on with Adley right now, James McCann in no world should be playing three out of five games.
No, he shouldn't. He's not giving you any production.
Tim's in Falston. Tim, you're on The Fan.
Hey, Kenny, thanks a lot, man. I'll be quick. I know. I just want to say I grew up in the 70s, so I'm used to players playing every day. I'm used to players playing the same positions. We know who those guys were. I'm not going to go there. But here's my lineup, and I don't think I've seen this lineup. This was my opening day lineup. Of course, I had Mullins leading off with no more. Jorge Mateo in center field leading off. Whoa. I think he's earned the right to lead off. He's got the speed. If he gets on, he makes things happen. I'd give him the opportunity. Adley Rutschman catching, switch hitting, get him up there in the first inning, power, RBIs. Gunnar Henderson at shortstop, playing third, five-tool guy, power, doubles, RBIs. Anthony Santander, right field. He's not Frank Robinson, but he's a power guy. He's an RBI guy. He goes in slumps. His average isn't that great, but he's number four. Ryan Mountcastle, first base, batting fifth, gives you some average, gives you some power. Six, Jordan Westberg playing second base. He's earned the right to play every day. I want to see 400 or 500 at bats out of him, batting six, number in the second, playing set. Ryan O'Hearn, designated hitter, professional hitter batting seventh, and then like you guys just talked about in the eighth spot is your platoon, is your Lowenstein Renegade. You got Austin Hayes right-handed, Colton Cowser left-handed. You got Herstedt that just came up. They don't pay me enough to figure out which one, but if they want to, I'll tell you which one to play every night. And ninth is Ramon Urias, your third baseman, your Mark Belanger, your defensive guy. He gives you what he gives you offensively, and he plays a stellar third base. That's my lineup. I've never seen that lineup. I'd like to see that lineup and see how it goes. What do you guys think? And I'll take your answer off.
I appreciate the call. I don't know that they trust Mateo enough defensively to be their everyday center fielder. I do like the speed aspect of it.
Well, that, but does he get on base enough?
Well,
does he walk enough?
Yeah.
And look, Jorge Mateo has had a really good year. And adjusting to that role, and it wasn't pretty at first at second base, he's been really, really good. But I guess that's my question.
I don't mind Westberg down in the sixth hole, but like hypothetically speaking, especially against a right-handed pitcher, like you got to have O'Hearn higher than seventh.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The platoon in left is what it is. I also feel like at some point, you know who's a right-handed bat? Coby Mayo.
He is, and he is scorching hot recently,
yes.
Ken.
Like, at some point, you want to get another right-handed bat up here?
Coby Mayo, 9 games since returning off the IL back up at Norfolk. His slash line, .394, .487. 909 slugging, Ken.
Nice.
5 doubles, 4 home runs.
Yeah, like, and did I mention he's a right-handed bat?
Yes, yeah. You did.
Let's go to Jonathan in Baltimore. Jonathan, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, so everyone's talking over here about the starting rotation, so I am a little worried about that, but again, I'm more worried about the back end, because there's a team that wants to go to playoffs and wants to go to the World Series. Then they can't go to the World Series with a closure that's missing saves. You got to get a better closer.
Well, they need and Jonathan, appreciate the call. They need both.
Yeah, right? they need to add.
Quite frankly, I make the argument Kimbrel's been better than their rotation has been over the last week or so.
Like,
he's 0-for-4 and 1 run saves.
Yeah, he blew that save in New York. But prior to that, I think his last 11, 12 appearances were pretty, really, really sharp.
And you also need to get to the closer,
yes.
Which right now they're having trouble getting to the closer.
Yeah, they need high leverage, at least one, probably two high leverage. The losing Coulomb until September at best,
yes,
is just such a blow, because he was their best reliever, man, and he was a lefty.
It also makes me wonder what the heck's going on, because reading up on, I'm no doctor, but like bone chips out of the arm, they feel like it shouldn't take as long as it is, so I'm wondering what exactly is going on there.
That's way above my head.
Yeah, yeah. Like, everybody's like, well, that should be like 6 to 8 weeks in September.
I was
like,
I'll trust their doctors.
Yeah, sounds a little weird. Let's go to Tom in Edgewater. Tom, you're on the Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas.
What's up, man?
Personally, there's only 4 guys that I am not trading at this time, and you took my thunder with Mayo. I'm not getting rid of Mayo. I'm not getting rid of Jackson, and I'm not getting rid of Messiah. Now, I know you got to give up something to get something. Anybody that's playing in that Oriole outfield right now is in play except Santander. And I really like Herstad, and I like him because it's the American League East, and I like him because of the short porches. But we need starting pitching. We need a solid 8th and 9th inning reliever, and you've got to give up some stuff to get him. And, I mean, I'll take your thoughts on what I just commented on and take it off the air.
I appreciate it. I talked to someone who's been involved in baseball for a long time, just to pick this person's brain, and they said the guy that this person would trade in a major deal would be Basayo. He's his upside is so immense, and it's still a little unknown, but he liked Kerstad and Mayo more than Basayo, for what it's worth.
Interesting. He's not untouchable for me, but I will say, him moving forward, if they are going to DH Adley as much as they are, this organization having Basayo is definitely intriguing, because, I mean, a nice 1-2 punch at catcher, and we know that Basayo can play first base as well. Jackson, everyone I'm not actively seeking to get rid of Jackson Holliday. I would like to keep one of Coby Mayo, Heston Kerstad. you know, Bisaccia, we'll see. But everyone else, I think you have to listen on all these
yes.
guys. You're trying to win a World Series.
And the other thing is, we're still at the same point we were a year ago at this time, where you have too much. And again, yeah, there's gonna at some point you got to make a trade that looks like a win-win. Like they don't see as good as Joey Ortiz has been for the Brewers, they don't see it that way because Joey Ortiz had no path to play here.
You got to give up something to get something. You have to realize that some of these guys that you're going to deal away, like a Joey Ortiz, are going to flourish elsewhere, and that's fine. You know, if you're bringing in a guy that has a big impact for your big league club.
Coming up next, Orioles. They're trying to get off the schneid. They've lost four in a row. How concerned is Rita Hubbard? We'll also get her thoughts on going to Houston and seeing the Orioles lose to the Astros. Rita joins us next here on The Fan. Orioles lose 3-2 yesterday. Back in action tonight against the Guardians. Baltimore Baseball Tonight coming up in a little under 2 hours. That's Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken live from Pickles. And let's talk some Orioles now with our friend Rita Hubbard, who joins us every Tuesday. And Rita, good afternoon. Thank you as always for joining us. Let's start here. How was your trip to Houston?
Well, good. I mean, you know, Houston is a cool city. I really like it. The Astros ballpark it's okay, but I don't know if it's because it has like that retractable roof, that enclosed, you know, part. Something about the aura there is just not the same. And I don't know if that means that because they've won, you know, multiple championships in recent years or whatever. But I think I tweeted like it was a Sunday service in there. It's kind of quiet. And so, I'm just kind of used to, I understand that baseball is not football, so it's not like I was expecting rowdiness. I just think I was expecting more like crowd, just general crowd noise. And it was just eerily quiet in there to the point where like my girlfriend that came with us, she's not a fan of either team, but she likes baseball. She's like, yeah, this is different. I didn't like it. It was just very like stiff. And I was like, all right, so I'm not being biased here. She's like, no. And I'm like, okay. So, I mean, you know, got it off my list. I heard it was a nice stadium. I at the time when I wanted to do the trip, I thought that the Astros would be better than they are. But even though they're not better than they are, I mean, they still found a way to sweep the Orioles. So I guess, you know, they showed me. So, you know, I enjoyed my trip, though, you know, nonetheless.
Well, O's bats have been quiet over the last three. They've lost four straight. Is this just a blip on the radar, Rita, or are you concerned moving forward?
I've always been concerned. It is a blip on the radar. I want to be clear that I think when you look at the schedule and they only have one day off, you do have to take into account of maybe some fatigue has set in, you know? And, you know, sometimes guys want to get back into their beds, and that could have been a part of it too. However, this is not the first, the second, third time that we've seen the bats be quiet. The problem is, and I'm not talking about last night, because I think that Povich did as much as he could, right, when they, you know, before they got him out at the end of, before the sixth inning. But I think that the problem in the other past is the confidence that we had with this pitching staff. And now I think the reality is starting to set in that not only are the Orioles inconsistent with how they score runs. Yes, I know what the metrics say in terms of them like being a top scoring team, but if you watch them every night, you know that these are the games that they have quite regularly, and it is quite concerning. And then now there's another aspect of the pitching now is not potentially going to be able to get you out of these binds, because we saw Rodriguez and we saw Burns kind of get touched up this weekend. So do I think it's a blip? Yes, because I think that it's almost, you know, all-star break and guys are probably tired. It's getting hot outside. But also I think that this is a consistent concern that many of us have, and we should be more concerned with the pitching staff not being as dominant as we thought that they would be due to injury.
We're talking to Rita Hubbard. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Last year at the deadline, they went and got Fuji and Jack Flaherty. Neither worked out. Neither arguably should have been on the postseason roster, and that's a miss when you're making moves at the deadline. Do you feel confident that the Orioles will make bigger moves this year by the deadline?
They have to. Do you want to compete for a World Series? And if the answer is yes, then you have to. The answer is you got to. It ain't even like, do you think? It is who's going to be the person that you're going to trade for. I think that's the case. But back to Flaherty. Does anybody get really annoyed by the fact that he's doing so well?
Oh, yeah. Like, yes, like, big time.
What was the issue here? This was a team. That's a 101 game. Yeah. And you just did not want to be a participant in that. It's so such weird behavior. But anyway, sorry, I had to get that
off. No, you're absolutely right. It's bizarre that he's now back to the guy he was a couple years ago or 3 years ago in St. Louis.
Just odd, right? That it bombed really badly here. And we all laughed at him and that contract, but obviously, it's worked out for everybody, and it's just weird. Anyway, so they have no choice. The answer is they have no choice, because I know you don't think that you can go into a postseason with Burns, Rodriguez, as good as he's been, he's also been as bad as he's been at times. Kramer, who I've always felt like Kramer is just, he's there, right? He's a guy. And then you got, you know, the Suarez's of the group, you know, the K-Povich's of the group, who is young, and then the Cole Irvin's of the group, who essentially is a bullpen arm, who had no choice but to make a starter. So if the Orioles want to be serious about contention, if they want to take Burns's one-year rental seriously, they're going to have to trade for a pitcher. They have no choice at this point.
Well, Rita, let me ask you this, and you put yourself in Michael Elias's shoes. To what length would you do it? I mean, is anyone untouchable for you in terms of farm system? Like, would you trade a Jackson, a Kobe Mayo, a Kerstad, etc.?
It's funny because I tweeted last night that I believe that Kerstad is up now because I think he's trade bait. I think they are kind of putting him on display a little bit just so other teams can kind of get a glimpse of him on a major league level and, you know, to see if he's worth it. And for the most part, I think that if I had to guess, guys, they have guys that they are willing to part with. Guys like Kyle Stowers, guys like a Heston Kerstad, who, I mean, everybody knows that I am a big Kerstad person. So while that I would be not happy about it, I just feel like, you know, they feel partially like he's a guy that they can potentially find someone to do something with. Mayo and Kobe, I go back and forth on who I think that they prioritize, but one of those got to go too, I think, for them. You know, I wonder if Basalo is a guy that they just would even entertain. But the fact remains that you do have all of these prospects, and you do need to figure out what it is that you want to do to make your team better and to what degree, right? Remember how we talked earlier in the year about Lizardo, but Lizardo had, 3 years or something remaining.
Yeah, and now he's hurt,
Right. Well, but prior to that, right, the conversation was, you don't want to go after a Lizardo because they're going to ask for too much because he has too many years on the contract. Well, now you're kind of in a desperate situation, right? And obviously Lizardo is not on that conversation, but depending on who else is available, what is it that you're willing to give up? Like, how important is this, is updating this pitching staff to you at this moment? Or do you just say, but we got three arms that we trust that'll be 20-25 starters, and so we're not going to give up but so much? So I think that that's going to be the dynamic here. I mean, do you really feel like this is the win it all or bust year? Or do you feel like you still need to be, I guess, responsible, quote unquote, in making a trade?
Rita, before I let you go, when are you and Glenn back?
Tonight. We're back tonight. We're gonna talk more about the Big Three coming up this weekend. Alta Millett is also going to join us. Lisa Leslie is going to join us.
Wow!
So yeah, should be good. We'll be having a good time this evening.
Starting at 6:30?
Yes, sir.
All right, Rita. Thanks as always. We will chat next week.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yep. Coming up next, we'll hit some northern exposure. And as we sit here in the offseason, we start to look at things. And one of the things we're going to look at, that Steelers offense. What do we think of it? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.
Mike's stated on the record. You know, Russ is in the pole position. It's a competition. Obviously, we get to Latrobe. I mean, certainly I'm sure things will heat up. But both those guys knew that when they, however they were acquired and they got here. I think it's been pretty transparent. I know Mike said that on the record as well.
That's new offensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Arthur Smith, talking about the quarterback competition. He said, Mike Tomlin's always said on the record, Russ has the pole position. But once they get to Latrobe, which is where they do their training camp, it will be a competition and we'll see. It's Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Justin Fields, who a year ago threw for 2,562 yards, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He's got 40 career touchdowns, 30 career interceptions.
I'm not a huge Justin Fields fan at all.
And he's an athlete.
Yeah, here's what I say about Justin Fields, Ken. I have this conversation with friends from time to time. Justin Fields is who people think
Lamar Jackson is. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
I was just about to say, all the Steelers fans that are going to have a great time with all the smack they talk about Lamar Jackson watching Justin Fields, if he plays.
Yeah, But I will say this, and we've had on numerous, you know, whether it's local beat reporters or national guys.
Orioles lose 3-2 yesterday, back in action tonight against the Guardians. Baltimore Baseball tonight coming up in a little under 2 hours. That's Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken live from Pickles. And let's talk some Orioles now with our friend Rita Hubbard, who joins us every Tuesday. And Rita, good afternoon. Thank you as always for joining us. Let's start here. How was your trip to Houston?
Was good. I mean, you know, Houston is a cool city. I really like it. The Astros ballpark it's okay, but I don't know if it's because it has like that retractable roof, that enclosed, you know, part. Something about the aura there is just not the same. And I don't know if that means that because they've won, you know, multiple championships in recent years or whatever. But I think I tweeted, like, it was a Sunday service in there. It's kind of quiet. And so I'm just kind of used to – I understand that baseball is not football, so it's not like I was expecting rowdiness. I just think I was expecting more, like, crowd, just general crowd noise. And it was just eerily quiet in there to the point where, like, my girlfriend that came with us, she's not a fan of either team, but she likes baseball. She's like, yeah, this is different. I didn't like it. It was just very, like, stiff. And I was like, all right, so I'm not being biased here. She's like, no. And I'm like, okay. So, I mean, you know, got it off my list. I heard it was a nice stadium. You know, at the time when I wanted to do the trip, I thought that the Astros would be better than they are. But even though they're not better than they are, I mean, they still found a way to sweep the Orioles. So, I guess, you know, they showed me. So, you know, I enjoy my trip, though, you know, nonetheless.
Well, O's bats have been quiet over the last three. They've lost four straight. Is this just a blip on the radar, Rita, or are you concerned moving forward?
I've always been concerned. It is a blip on the radar. I want to be clear that I think when you look at the schedule and they only have one day off, you do have to take into account of maybe some fatigue has set in, you know. And you know, sometimes guys want to get back into their beds, and that could have been a part of it, too. However, this is not the first, the second, third time that we've seen the bats be quiet. The problem is, and I'm not talking about last night, because I think that Povich did as much as he could, right, when they, you know, before they got him out at the end of, before the sixth inning. But I think that the problem in the past is the confidence that we had with this pitching staff. And now I think the reality is starting to set in that not only are the Orioles inconsistent with how they score runs. Yes, I know what the metrics say in terms of them like being a top scoring team. But if you watch them every night, you know that these are the games that they have quite regularly. And it is quite concerning. And then now there's another aspect of the pitching now is not potentially going to be able to get you out of these binds, because we saw Rodriguez and we saw Burns kind of get touched up this weekend. So do I think it's a blip? Yes, because I think that it's almost, you know, all-star break and guys are probably tired. It's getting hot outside. But also I think that this is a consistent concern that many of us have. And we should be more concerned with the pitching staff not being as dominant as we thought that they would be due to injury.
We're talking to Rita Hubbard. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Last year at the deadline, they went and got Fuji and Jack Flaherty. Neither worked out. Neither arguably should have been on the postseason roster, and that's a miss when you're making moves at the deadline. Do you feel confident that the Orioles will make bigger moves this year by the deadline?
They have to. Do you want to compete for a World Series? And if the answer is yes, then you have to. The answer is you got to. It ain't even like, do you think? It is who's going to be the person that you're going to trade for. I think that that's the case. Does it, but back to Flaherty, does anybody get really annoyed by the fact that he's doing so well?
Oh, yeah. Like, yes, like, big time.
What was the issue here? This was a team. This team won 101 games. Yeah. And you just did not want to be a participant in that. It's so such weird behavior. But anyway, sorry, I had to get that
off. No, you're absolutely right. It's bizarre that he's now back to the guy he was a couple years ago or 3 years ago in St. Louis.
Just very, just odd, right? That it bombed really badly here. And we all laughed at him in that contract, but obviously it's worked out for everybody and it's just weird. Anyway, so they have no choice. The answer is they have no choice, because I know you don't think that you can go into a postseason with Burns, Rodriguez, who has, while Rodriguez, as good as he's been, he's also been as bad as he's been at times. Kramer, who I've always felt like Kramer is just, he's there, right? He's a guy. And then you got, you know, the Suarez's of the group, you know, the K. Povich's of the group, who is young, and then the Cole Irvin's of the group, who essentially is a bullpen arm that you had no choice but to make a starter. So if the Orioles want to be serious about contention, if they want to take Burns's one-year rental seriously, they're going to have to trade for a pitcher. They have no choice at this point.
Well, Rita, let me ask you this, and you put yourself in Michael Elias's shoes. To what length would you do it? I mean, is anyone untouchable for you in terms of farm system? Like, would you trade a Jackson, a Kobe Mayo, a Kerstad, etc.?
It's funny because I tweeted last night that I believe that Kerstad is up now because I think he's trade bait. I think they are kind of putting him on display a little bit just so other teams can kind of get a glimpse of him on a major league level and, you know, to see if he's worth it. And for the most part, I think that if I had to guess, guys, they have guys that they are willing to part with. Guys like Kyle Stowers, guys like a Heston Kerstad, who, I mean, everybody knows that I am a big Kerstad person. So while that I would be not happy about it, I just feel like, you know, they feel partially like he's a guy that they can potentially find someone to do something with. The Mayo and Kobe, I go back and forth on who I think that they prioritize, but one of those got to go too, I think, for them. You know, I wonder if Basalo is a guy that they just would even entertain. But the fact remains that you do have all of these prospects, and you do need to figure out what it is that you want to do to make your team better and to what degree, right? Remember how we talked earlier in the year about Lizardo, but Lizardo had, 3 years or something remaining.
Yeah, so, and now he's hurt, so...
Right. Well, but prior to that, right, the conversation was, well, you don't want to go after a Lizardo because they're going to ask for too much because he has too many years on the contract. Well, now you're kind of in a desperate situation, right? And obviously Lizardo's not on that conversation, but depending on who else is available, what is it that you're willing to give up? Like, how important is this, is updating this pitching staff to you at this moment? Or do you just say, but we got three arms that we trust that'll be 20-25 starters, And so we're not going to give up but so much. So I think that that's going to be the dynamic here. I mean, do you really feel like this is the win it all or bust year? Or do you feel like you still need to be, I guess, responsible, quote unquote, when in making a trade?
Rita, before I let you go, when are you and Glenn back?
Tonight. We're back tonight. We're gonna talk more about the Big Three coming up this weekend. Alda Millett is also going to join us. Lisa Leslie is going to join us.
Wow.
So yeah, should be good. We'll be having a good time this evening.
Starting at 6:30?
Yes, sir.
All right, Rita, thanks as always. We will chat next week.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yep. Coming up next, we'll hit some Northern Exposure. And as we sit here in the offseason, we start to look at things. And one of the things we're going to look at, that Steelers offense. What do we think of it? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.
Mike's stated on the record. You know, Russ is in the pole position. It's a competition. Obviously, we get to Latrobe. I mean, certainly I'm sure things will heat up. But both those guys knew that however they were acquired and they got here. I think it's been pretty transparent. I know Mike said that on the record as well.
That's new offensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Arthur Smith, talking about the quarterback competition. He said Mike Tomlin's always said on the record, Russ has the pole position. But once they get to Latrobe, which is where they do their training camp, it will be a competition, and we'll see. It's Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Justin Fields, who a year ago threw for 2,562 yards, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He's got 40 career touchdowns, 30 career interceptions.
I'm not a huge Justin Fields fan at all.
And he's an athlete.
Yeah, here's what I say about Justin Fields, Ken. I have this conversation with friends from time to time. Justin Fields is who people think
Lamar Jackson is. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
I was just about to say, all the Steelers fans that are going to have a great time with all the smack they talk about Lamar Jackson watching Justin Fields if he plays.
Yeah, But I will say this, and we've had on numerous, you know, whether it's local beat reporters or national guys, and asking them the question where, is Justin Fields going to win this job? And everyone's been steadfast about Russ. I have to think at some point this year, Justin Fields is going to be the starter. I mean, they didn't give up much to bring him in, but you want to see what you have, and they turned down his fifth-year option, so both of those guys are entering their walk years, and I'm not breaking any news here, Ken, but Steelers are going to go as this quarterback position takes them. And their roster has been solid over the years, despite pretty poor quarterback play, and that includes the end of Ben Roethlisberger, and that's why they've been mid. They've been stuck in mediocrity.
Yeah, the corpse of Ben Roethlisberger, who basically quarterbacked the team the last 2 years of his career, and then Kenny Pickett, who was awful.
Yes.
And now it's going to be Russ, who frankly looks cooked, and Justin Fields, who... Now, I do like their running game. Najee Harris, Jalen Warren.
I'm a huge Jalen Warren guy, and I've said since his rookie year that he's better than Najee, and they turned down Najee's fifth-year option. I think Warren could be really good, and this is a team that is really invested in their offensive line over the past couple of years. Broderick Jones was their first-round pick a year ago. They drafted Troy Fontenot, first rounder, Frazier, both those rookies are expected to start. And then they signed Isaac Sumalo from the Eagles last offseason. So how does that young offensive line hold up? And then there's the receiver position, Ken, where it stinks right now.
Yeah.
Let's just call a spade a spade.
I like Pickens.
I like Pickens a lot as well. But outside of him, man, lot to be desired.
You know what? It's funny. I think Roman Wilson could be decent, the kid out of Michigan. I wouldn't mind if the Ravens took him in a middle round, but like, I can't feel confident he's going to do anything this year. But they have in the past found guys.
Oh my God. Like, the Steelers just, they find him out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It frustrates the heck out of, you know, us at Baltimore. Just the fact that the Steelers just pick up guys and they end up being studs. But there's been so much smoke in terms of the Steelers acquiring a wide receiver by a trade where I'm with Jason at this point. I would be very surprised if it doesn't happen.
Well, the crazy thing is, so allegedly did Brandon Ayuk go into his meeting with the 49ers with the rookie quarterback of the Commanders, who he's best friends with, that's a weird sort of vibe to go into a meeting with the current team saying, I want to go to that team. Now, if the Commanders end up getting Brandon Ayuk, good on them. They want to pay him. But it seems like the Steelers have been targeting, at least reading the tea leaves, have been targeting an Ayuk type for a while.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it seems like it's been all off season long. And we've seen Omar Khan operate with a sense of urgency that, quite frankly, we've never seen in Pittsburgh. I mean, going out and acquiring both of those quarterbacks, you know, just being aggressive in free agency in general, where you heard the owner at the end of last season saying, we need to start winning in January. They have not won a playoff game since 2016. That is a long time. I was in college, Ken. I mean, it has been a minute.
What was I doing in 2016?
What do you think?
Probably here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've seen, I guess, the start of it, I guess, was Blake the Snake Bortles going in there and just kicking the crap out of the Steelers. That was the beginning of the end there.
Yeah, that was the year Jacksonville should have. Like, they had the lead on New England in the AFC title game and then played not to lose instead of playing to win.
And Tomlin got his contract extension, so that's not going to be a talking point anymore. And we'll get into their defense tomorrow. But it's about the quarterback position, man. And it's great. It's all fine and well that Tomlin's never had a losing season, but they've had zero playoff success since 2017.
Yeah, can one of these guys, whether it be Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, do more than what they've gotten out of the quarterback position essentially for 4 years?
And I think
5 years.
And I think maybe that's possible. I mean, I think both of those guys are an upgrade over Kenny Pickett, low bar. But
are they an upgrade over end of Ben?
I don't know.
Are they an upgrade over end of Ben?
I would maybe lean yes, slightly, but at least Ben still had some clutch factor at the end. You know, he led a couple comebacks against the Ravens his final year, but I don't know, man. I'm not high on either of them.
Neither am I. Hey, coming up next, we'll get back to the Orioles and the lineup. And how do they juggle this lineup with Heston Kerstedt here? We'll remind you of tonight's lineup because that presents some issues as well. Will Heston Kerstedt play almost every day? Because obviously looking at tonight's lineup, he's not playing every day. But we'll discuss next here on The Fan.
Mike's stated on the record, you know, Russ is in the pole position. It's a competition. Obviously, we get to Latrobe. I mean, certainly I'm sure things will heat up, but both those guys knew that when they were acquired and they got here. I think it's been pretty transparent. I know Mike said that on the record as well.
That's new offensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Arthur Smith, talking about the quarterback competition. He said Mike Tomlin's always said on the record, Russ has the pole position. But once they get to Latrobe, which is where they do their training camp, it will be a competition and we'll see. It's Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Justin Fields, who a year ago threw for 2,562 yards, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He's got 40 career touchdowns, 30 career interceptions.
I'm not a huge Justin Fields fan at all.
And he's an athlete.
Yeah, here's what I say about Justin Fields, Ken. I have this conversation with friends from time to time. Justin Fields is who people think
Lamar Jackson is. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
I was just about to say, all the Steelers fans that are going to have a great time with all the smack they talk about Lamar Jackson watching Justin Fields, if he plays.
Yeah, But I will say this, and we've had on numerous, you know, whether it's local beat reporters or national guys, and asking them the question where, is Justin Fields going to win this job? And everyone's been steadfast about Russ. I have to think at some point this year, Justin Fields is going to be the starter. I mean, they didn't give up much to bring him in, but you want to see what you have, and they turned down his fifth-year option, so both of those guys are entering their walk years, and I'm not breaking any news here, Ken, but Steelers are going to go as this quarterback position takes them, and their roster has been solid over the years, despite pretty poor quarterback play, and that includes the end of Ben Roethlisberger, and that's why they've been mid. They've been stuck in mediocrity.
Yeah, the corpse of Ben Roethlisberger, who basically quarterbacked the team the last 2 years of his career, and then Kenny Pickett, who was awful.
Yes.
And now it's going to be Russ, who frankly looks cooked, and Justin Fields, who Now I do like their running game. Najee Harris, Jalen Warren.
I'm a huge Jalen Warren guy, and I've said since his rookie year that he's better than Najee, and they turned down Najee's fifth year option. I think Warren could be really good, and this is a team that is really invested in their offensive line over the past couple of years. Broderick Jones was their first round pick a year ago. They drafted Troy Fontenot, first rounder, Frazier, both those rookies are expected to start. And then they signed Isaac Sumalo from the Eagles last offseason. So how does that young offensive line hold up? And then there's the receiver position, Ken, where it stinks right now. Let's call a spade a spade. I like Pickens a lot as well, but outside of him, man, lot to be desired.
You know what? It's funny. I think Roman Wilson could be decent, the kid out of Michigan. I wouldn't have minded if the Ravens took him in the middle round, but like, I can't feel confident he's going to do anything this year. But they have in the past found guys.
Oh, my God. Like, Steelers just, they find him out of nowhere. Yeah. It frustrates the heck out of, you know, us in Baltimore. Just the fact that the Steelers just pick up guys and they end up being studs. But there's been so much smoke in terms of the Steelers acquiring a wide receiver via trade where I'm with Jason at this point. I would be very surprised if it doesn't happen.
Well, the crazy thing is, so allegedly did Brandon Ayuk go into his meeting with the 49ers with the rookie quarterback of the Commanders who he's best friends with? That's a weird thing. Sort of vibe to go into a meeting with the current team saying, I want to go to that team. Now, if the Commanders end up getting Brandon Ayuk, good on them. They want to pay him. But it seems like the Steelers have been targeting, at least reading the tea leaves, have been targeting an Ayuk type for a while.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it seems like it's been all off season long. And we've seen Omar Khan operate with a sense of urgency that, quite frankly, we've never seen. In Pittsburgh. I mean, going out and acquiring both of those quarterbacks, you know, just being aggressive in free agency in general, where you heard the owner at the end of last season saying, we need to start winning in January. They have not won a playoff game since 2016. That is a long time. I was in college, Ken. I mean, it has been a minute.
What was I doing in 2016?
What do you think?
Probably here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've seen, I guess... The start of it, I guess, was Blake the Snake Bortles going in there and just kicking the crap out of the Steelers. That was the beginning of the end there.
That was the year Jacksonville should have. Like, they had the lead on New England in the AFC title game and then played not to lose instead of playing to win.
And Tomlin got his contract extension, so that's not going to be a talking point anymore. And we'll get into their defense tomorrow. But it's about the quarterback position, man. And it's great. It's all fine and well that Tomlin's never had a losing season, but they've had zero playoff success since 2017.
Yeah, can one of these guys, whether it be Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, do more than what they've gotten out of the quarterback position essentially for 4 years?
And I think
5 years.
And I think maybe that's possible. I mean, I think both of those guys are an upgrade over Kenny Pickett, low bar. But
are they an upgrade over end of Ben?
I don't know.
Are they an upgrade over end of Ben?
I would maybe lean yes, slightly, but at least Ben still had some clutch factor at the end. You know, he led a couple comebacks against the Ravens his final year, but I don't know, man. I'm not high on either of them.
No, neither am I. Hey, coming up next, we'll get back to the Orioles and the lineup. And how do they juggle this lineup with Heston Kerstedt here? We'll remind you of tonight's lineup because that presents some issues as well. Will Heston Kerstedt play almost every day? Because obviously looking at tonight's lineup, he's not playing every day. But we'll discuss next here on The Fan.